Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, fellow evangelists or people with the spirit of evangelism, a burden for lost souls, welcome to episode number 57 of Proclaim, the podcast that teaches every Bible-believing Christian how to preach the gospel by any means necessary in many different settings, including using the internet and what I call the new podcast pulpit. Our scripture passage for today on preaching is Luke chapter 18, verse 1, which reads, "And Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." You say, well, what does that have to do with preaching? I assure you, my beloved, that there will not be much effective preaching if there is not some effective praying. I guarantee you that. Our proclaimed quote today on preaching is from Dr. E.M. Bounds. He said, "What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more, and novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods and machines, but through men. He, the Holy Spirit, does not come on machinery, but on men. He, the Holy Spirit, does not anoint plans, but men, men of prayer." That's Dr. E.M. Bounds for you. I have an Amen Corner in this podcast, but I'm not supposed to have an Amen Corner during the podcast. Be that as it may, in this podcast, we are using as our texts the following three books: Lectures to My Students by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, The Prince of Preachers. I read that book right after I got saved and called to preach early on, nearly 40 years ago. It was life changing. And I have a vision in my mind down in Goshen, Mississippi. There's a little community college. It was just built, beautiful. And I would go to that library and go read this book. And I mocked it up all the way through. Lectures to My Students. Absolutely beautiful. Then I read The Preacher and His Preaching by Alfred P. Gibbs, another blessing. And then have read several times in different formats Biblical Preaching by Haddon W. Robinson. You ask, well, why are you using these more pastoral books to get evangelists and guerrilla evangelists prepare to proclaim the gospel, because the same things that pastors must have in their lives, some fundamental, basic, foundational things, these books deal with, that the evangelist, if he's going to be effective, must have in his life as well, such as prayer, such as living a godly and holy life. And so basically, I'm laying the foundation. I want you to understand you need to live right before you preach right. And when you mess up, you need to confess up and be transparent. That's what Christians do. All of the great Christians I know, they confess their sins, they repent, and they are transparent about their failures and their faults. And it makes them very effective. And so if you're not going to come real and be a true Christian, you cannot be a true preacher or proclaimer of the gospel, because people can see right through you if you are a phony and a fake. Today, beloved, our topic is titled The Preacher's Private Prayer, Part 9, From Lectures to My Students, by the Prince of Preachers, Dr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He being dead, yet speaketh. He goes on to share, time spent in quiet prostration of soul before the Lord is most invigorating. David sat before the Lord . It is a great thing to hold these sacred sittings, the mind being receptive, like an open flower drinking in the sunbeams, or the sensitive photographic plate accepting the image before it. Quietude, which some men cannot abide, because it reveals their inward poverty, is as a palace of cedar to the wise. For along its hallowed courts, the king in his beauty designs to walk. Sacred silence, thou that art floodgate of the deeper heart, offspring of a heavenly kind, frost, O the mouth, and thaw, O the mind, priceless as the gift of utterance may be, the practice of silence in some aspects far excels it. Do you think me a Quaker? Well, be it so. Herein I follow George Fox most lovingly, for I am persuaded that we, most of us, think too much of speech, which, after all, is but the shell of thought. Quiet contemplation, still worship, unuttered rapture, these are mine when my best jewels are before me. Brethren, rob not your heart of the deep sea joys. Miss not the far down life by forever babbling among the broken shells and foaming surges of the shore. My. Now, when you hear a black preacher say, my, 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 that means this is real good. This is real good. Spurgeon goes on to say, I would seriously recommend to you, when settled in the ministry, the celebration of extraordinary seasons of devotion. If your ordinary prayers do not keep up the freshness and vigor of your souls, and you feel that you are flagging, get alone for a week or even a month if possible. We have occasional holidays. Why not frequent holy days? We hear of our richer brethren finding time for a journey to Jerusalem. Could we not spare time for the less difficult and far more profitable journey to the heavenly city in prayer and repose and quietude? I added the last three words. Isaac Ambrose, once pastor at Preston, who wrote that famous book, Looking Unto Jesus, always set apart 1 month in the year for seclusion in a hut in a wood at Garstein. So, no wonder that he was so mighty a divine when he could regularly spend so long a time in the mount with God. I notice that the Romanists are accustomed to secure what they call retreats, where a number of priests will retire for a time into perfect quietude, to spend the whole of the time in fasting and prayer, so as to inflame their souls with ardor. We may learn from our adversaries. It would be a great thing every now and then for a band of truly spiritual brethren to spend a day or two with each other in real burning agony of prayer. Pastors alone could use much more freedom than in a mixed company. Times of humiliation and supplication for the whole church will also benefit us if we enter into them heartily, yea, sincerely. Our reasons of fasting and prayer at the tabernacle have been high days indeed. Never has heaven's gate stood wider. Never have our hearts been nearer the central glory. I look forward to our month of special devotion. As mariners reckon upon reaching land, even if our public work were laid aside to give us space for special prayer, it might be a great gain to our churches. A voyage to the golden rivers of fellowship and meditation would be well repaid by a freight of sanctified feeling and elevated thought. Our silence might be better than our voices if our solitude were spent with God. That was a grand action of old Jerome when he laid all his pressing engagements aside to achieve a purpose to which he felt a call from heaven. He had a large congregation, as large as one as any of us need want, but he said to his people, now it is of necessity that the New Testament should be translated. You must find another preacher. The translation must be made. I am bound for the wilderness, and shall not return till my task is finished." Away he went with his manuscripts and prayed and labored and produced a work, the Latin Vulgate, which will last as long as the world stands, on the whole a most wonderful translation of Holy Scripture. As learning and prayerful retirement together could thus produce an immortal work, if we were sometimes to say to our people, when we felt moved to do so, "Dear friends, we really must be gone for a little while to refresh our souls in solitude," our profiting would soon be apparent. And if we did not write Latin Vulgates, yet we should do immortal work such as would abide the fire. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, help us to proclaim your holy gospel by any means necessary, by your might, the power of your Holy Spirit. But Lord, help us to understand that the power comes from you. And so, Lord, help us to spend quality time and quantity time in prayer, in quietude along with you, so that we can have the power from on high. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, as we close today, I want to speak to those who have never truly trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, as well as those who have doubts about their salvation. Allow me to share with you very clearly how you can trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today and be saved from hell fire forever and have a home in heaven with God forever. Here is how, in more detail. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, and so have I. We all have. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now without Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, this is bad news indeed, but I have some good news for you, and I proclaim it to you today. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ," he was speaking about himself, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and He will. May God bless you and keep you.